Welcome to episode 1239 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look with our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus's take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? Last time, we began a crucial conversation about truth in the age of information. And today, we dive deeper into that discussion. In part one, we established that Jesus was a master communicator who understood the power of truth to set people free, even while living in a world dominated by powerful elites who controlled information. We explored how Jesus spoke with an authority born of truth itself, not from an institutional position. We also looked at his nuanced approach to accountability, noting that he confronted falsehood and hypocrisy, but always left a path for redemption rather than annihilation. We saw that he was against both the censorship of ideas that challenge people and the promotion of harmful teachings, instead advocating for the power of truth to overcome falsehood. Jesus was, fundamentally, a teacher, but his approach to education was radically different from the religious schools of his day. Understanding how he taught gives us insight into how he might approach modern educational debates. Let's consider the tension between parental authority and educational independence. Jesus' own relationship with his parents provides an interesting case study. In Luke 2, verses 41 to 52, 12-year-old Jesus stays behind in Jerusalem to discuss theology with the teachers in the temple while his parents travel home, thinking he's with them. When they find him after 3 days of frantic searching, his mother scolds him. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus' response is telling. "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Even as a child, Jesus recognized that his ultimate obligation was to truth and to God, even when this conflicted with his parents' wishes or understanding. But Luke also tells us that he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus honored his parents while maintaining his commitment to a higher truth. This suggests a both and rather than either or approach to parental rights and educational independence. Applied to modern debates, Jesus might support parental involvement in education while insisting that neither parents nor schools have the right to suppress truth or harm children. He'd probably ask, "Are we protecting children or protecting our own comfort? Are we preparing them for the world as it is or as we wish it were?" Jesus didn't shy away from difficult truths about power, oppression, and systemic injustice. In Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, he launched his public ministry by reading from Isaiah.
"The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
This wasn't just individual spiritual liberation. It was a declaration of God's concern for systemic oppression and social justice. Jesus regularly exposed how religious and political systems perpetuated injustice. In Matthew 23, verse 4, he said that the Pharisees
tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them.
He taught uncomfortable truths about how power works, who benefits from current systems, and whose voices are marginalized. But he did so with the goal of liberation, not guilt or despair. Applied to debates about teaching race and history, Jesus would likely insist on honest examination of how systems of oppression have worked and continue to work. But he'd frame this as good news, the truth that sets people free to build something better. Jesus might ask,
"Are we teaching this to divide people or to heal divisions? Are we helping students understand the world so they can change it? Or are we overwhelming them with problems they can't solve? Are we building empathy or resentment?
Jesus assembled a remarkably diverse group of disciples. Matthew was a tax collector, a collaborator with the Roman occupation who got rich off his own people's taxes. Simon was called the Zealot, likely a member of a revolutionary movement committed to violently overthrowing Roman rule. Think about that for a moment. Jesus brought together someone who worked for the system and someone who wanted to destroy it, a collaborator and a revolutionary. These men probably hated each other before they followed Jesus. Yet somehow, Jesus created a community where they could work together. How? First, Jesus gave them a shared mission bigger than their political differences. In Mark 16, verse 15, he told them,
"Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation."
Their job wasn't to resolve political disputes. It was to spread God's love. Second, Jesus modeled a different way of handling conflict. In Luke 9, verses 51 to 56, when a Samaritan village rejected Jesus, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy it. Jesus rebuked them, and they simply went to another village. No retaliation, no escalation, just redirection toward the mission. Third, Jesus consistently humanized his opponents. Even on the cross, he prayed for his executioners.
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
Applied to today's polarization, Jesus would probably insist that political opponents remain human beings worthy of love and respect, even when we disagree with their positions, he might ask.
"What would happen if we spent as much energy trying to understand each other as we do trying to defeat each other? What if we measured success by how much love we created rather than how many arguments we won?"
This brings us back to cancel culture, but from a different angle. Jesus's approach to community restoration provides a model for handling public failures and harmful behavior. In Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, Jesus outlined a process for addressing wrongdoing in community.
"If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector."
Now here's the key. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? He ate with them, befriended them, and invited them into community. Even excommunication in Jesus's model was an act of love designed to create conditions for repentance and restoration. Jesus believed in accountability, but he always held the door open for redemption. His goal was never to destroy people, but to transform them. Here's what we've learned about Jesus and information in our digital age. Truth was his ultimate authority, not power or position. He confronted lies directly, but focused more on spreading truth than silencing opposition. He held people accountable for harmful words and actions while always creating space for redemption and growth. Most importantly, Jesus understood that the goal of truth-telling isn't to win arguments. It's to set people free. Free from deception. Free from fear. Free from systems that oppress and divide. In our age of information overload, Jesus might remind us that more data isn't the same as more wisdom. More platforms aren't the same as better communication. And more volume isn't the same as more truth. For now, let me leave you with this challenge. In your own consumption and sharing of information, are you contributing to the liberation Jesus promised? Or are you adding to the noise that keeps people enslaved to fear and division? The truth, as Jesus promised, will set us free. But only if we're committed to seeking it, speaking it, and living it, even when it costs us something. Father, you are the God of truth, wisdom, and light. In a world flooded with voices, conflicting stories, and distorted messages, help us to discern what is good, what is true, and what is just. May we become instruments of your peace, people who speak with integrity, listen with humility, and pursue justice with compassion. Let our words reflect your love, and may our search for truth always lead us closer to you and to one another. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,